Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Alice knows what you think I've seen. Some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his stylish knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not Tom, but you're going to have to put up with me anyhow. Tom is off doing Bigfoot business, trying to get everything set up so the Bigfoot team can go out and find Bigfoot. I mean, we're not giving up on because of the COVID or the cold weather or all the haters out there that think that we're evil because we're trying to get one. We're gonna go out there and try to get one, Tom's trying to make it possible. And while before we get into anything tonight, I wanna bring Father Ray on because I think that me and the world needs a lot of prayer. Are you there?
I am here. I am
Why
here.
Don't
Father
you,
Ray is here.
All right. Why don't you lead us off with prayer?
All right. I would be honored. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God of all creation, you love all that you made and hate nothing that exists. You sustain it and keep it in being. So we pray, Lord, first of all, for Tom. Please bless him and help him. We pray, Lord, for all the people throughout the world who are suffering from the coronavirus, all those who are affected by it because they have a friend or a loved one who is afflicted with the coronavirus. Please heal those so afflicted. Please bless us, Lord, in our efforts into contact with these creatures, creatures you have made, creatures you sustain in being. Help us, Lord, to know them, to appreciate them, to see a part of you reflected in them. And bless us, all the people who are suffering financially or lack food, all those suffering from the cold. Help us, help them, Lord, with your mighty hand and through the prayers and the works and the good works, the charitable works of your people. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome. If you need me to speak, I'm happy to speak. So.
All right. Well, I thank you very much. I mean, that's a prayer is what everybody needs at this point in time.
We do.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, on with the show. The other day, I got a phone call from my sidekick, the Swede, and he had me turn the TV over to the news channel. And on the news channel, I saw Representative Justin Humphrey from Oklahoma. Okay. Justin Humphrey is doing his best to get a bill passed to start a Bigfoot hunting season. And anyhow, I watched it. I listened. I looked around on the internet until I finally found him, and I listened to what the man had to say. Excuse me, had to say. And well, right at the time, he's getting a lot of people calling in that's just thinks it's the greatest idea that there's ever been. We've got a whole bunch of other people that think it's just to even think that way is an atrocity. And anyhow, he's talking about a hunting season, a festival, a $25,000 dollar reward. Well, it's one of those things. You know, normally I'm not big on thinking, but when it comes right down to it, you know, we're talking about hunting. So then, as I listened a little into his conversation, he said that when he said hunting, he didn't mean anybody killing a Bigfoot, wanting to catch them, $25,000 if you catch one. Well, are you on, Swede?
I am. I'm listening.
Okay. I have my own ideas about this. The hunting license. Okay. I'm taking it that they're talking about, you know, like you get your you get your license to hunt deer, but you want to hunt duck too, so you get your ducks down. Well, if he's wanting to get, you know, put out a Bigfoot stamp or whatever they're going to call it, I wonder about, you know, the cost of it. I know that for quite some time it was nearly impossible to get a license to hunt a bear in Arkansas for good reason. But anyhow, now then, you know, they come up in our camp and steal our food, as you well know. Then he says, no killing, no shooting, none of that stuff. He didn't actually say no shooting. He said no. He's not calling to have people come in here to kill a Bigfoot. Okay. How do you catch a Bigfoot? You trap it. Now, me and you both know that hunting and trapping is two completely different things, right?
No, absolutely, Rocky. And there's a great deal of liability on either side of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. When a death during hunting season, it's an accident. It's an accident, but a lot of times the one who did the accident and caused the death of some other hunter, you know, he's got to pay in more ways than just financial. You know, if he's done something stupid and it caused a death, you know, there's always the chance of wrongful death suits, that kind of stuff. And then, you know, you got somebody, maybe, might be a 16-year-old, first time he's ever been out hunting. Well, okay, he doesn't get sued. He just has to live with the fact that he killed somebody. Right? Well,
there's a huge liability here. I mean, we're talking about,
right.
You know, if you want to pump it up for Bigfoot hunting, it could get pretty scary in a big way. Go ahead, Rocky.
I've heard people already. It was on the news the other day at my restaurant, and the one old boy was sitting there, and I heard him say, what he sees happening is a whole bunch of yahoos out there shooting the top of each other's heads off because they're out there Bigfoot hunting drunk. Then there's the idiots that, you know, say, ha-ha, this will be funny, and go out in their ghillie suit or their gorilla suit or something like that. Okay, that's always been, as you know, it's always been a concern of mine, seeing one and pulling the trigger on it and then getting up there to check it out and find a zipper.
Yeah, Rocky, it's just like,
you know,
former in Arkansas when dude had the the photograph on his mantle up there in
mm-hmm.
his Bigfoot. And that was the first thing, you know, like we said, you know, we've done this many times. Dude, don't have your friends running out there with a big, you know, with a gorilla suit on, because they might get 30-06 bullet through themselves.
Yeah, I've noticed that
to be this is going to be a big deal, and it, the liability of all of this is going to be, which probably the legislators are not even considering.
Oh, I'm sure that they haven't at this point. Well, you know, everybody says, well, you know, the man said no kill, got to catch one, got to trap one. Well, me and you both have trapped, and, you know, even a mink trap snapping shut on your foot. Bad news.
Well, yeah, can I talk about it? Can I talk about it, Rocky? Let me tell.
Go ahead.
A conner bear trap, okay? Anybody that does any trapping knows what a conner bear trap is. You know that, Rocky. Get beavers and stuff in there. It's multi. It goes either direction, like a like a picnic table. It gets on you and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gets you on both sides. So it's a very devastating trap, and it stops any kind of animal that gets in a conner bear trap. A conner bear trap is the most effective. It doesn't hold you by the leg. It kills you. So,
right.
If you're going to, I mean, we're talking about an animal that weighs, you know, 40, 50 pounds for a huge beaver. For them to come off with some kind of a trapping system or anything that anybody's going to get going out there for Bigfoot, it's going to be like we're talking about an animal that, you know, on the minimum, let's just say it's 500 pounds, probably a lot bigger than that. 6 foot tall minimum. We're talking about a trap. It's just not like trapping wild hogs.
We're talking about a bear trap.
A huge one. So
a bear trap.
Okay, that's right, Rocky. If you just put it to a leg trap, if you're not even in a conner bear trap, if it's a leg trap, it's going to be big enough to catch a Bigfoot. If a human being steps in that, we're talking about probably having a life-changing event.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and, you know, as far as that goes, it won't just be a life-changing event. It's a possible amputation, and, you know,
and it could be a life-changing event to the point where you don't have a foot no more.
Right. Okay. My brother is, you know, my brother's a trapper. That's what he does. He traps
beavers.
He live traps beavers for the Arkansas
fishing
game. And he live traps them. He turns them loose in a right. But even in the live traps, occasionally there's a death. He used to catch coyotes, and occasionally there was deaths. Okay. Then, you know, when he started talking about, you know, oh, no, we're not going to kill him. We're going to catch him and trap him. Okay. We're talking about people going out and putting traps out that's going to be hidden well enough that an intelligent beast won't be able to notice it. Well, there will be a lot of people out there that's probably not that intelligent. And, you know, if it's to trap an intelligent beast, you know, what if you have a Murphy going off down through there? When they start doing that, they're going to end up catching a deuce Murphy. And a lot
exactly.
of people don't know what we're talking about, but a lot of people don't know what we're talking about, but it's a, we know people, and, you know, one of them happens to be the person I just mentioned, and probably not, he's the kind of guy that makes me worry when I go out deer hunting. He says, no, I mean, it's a tourist draw. Talking about a tourist draw. All right. So the tourists come in. All right. Some of these tourists never been to Oklahoma. A lot of these tourists may be just, you know, real uneducated people when it comes to trapping and, you know, the kind of people that blunder into traps.
Rocky,
so
you've
got
know,
the cost.
You know,
go ahead.
You know well as I do, as many, which we do love it, and I try to keep it away from you, but this. But our apple bait that we use,
right.
when we hang 10 foot in the tree, you know, when something can grab something 10 foot out of the tree and just rip it down, destroy paracord, pull it in half, you have to be conscious of, you know, what kind of an apparatus that you would use to apprehend an animal like that. People running around out there in a season, there's
right.
going to be
collateral damage.
There's going to be people getting hurt because somebody's going to come up with some kind of massive. It's beyond me because, you know, we just use our general stuff and we're not trying to trap anything, but if they're going to present that as a catch a season, there's going to be a bunch of guys out there that's going to put some stuff out there that the average idiot that's out there trying to do it might step into that. Or might get into that. And there's going to be people hurt.
Yeah, there'll be people that get into traps. And maybe 4 or 5 days later, the trapper comes and finds that in his trap, he has a trapee. And so there's
yeah,
no way around it. The trapping idea, seen it before along the riverbank. Somebody putting out a trap to catch, you know, one of the little river critters like a mink or a beaver or anything like that. Okay. You'll say, well, wonder what's on the end of this chain sticking, you know, staked out up on the bank, and pull up a trap that had been there for a year that hadn't been checked. Somebody just didn't bother to check the trap. Well, you know, a lot of left behind traps because, you know, we're talking about people setting a trap and maybe going back and checking them all, you know, the next day or, you know, in a few days, when, you know, the person could be laying out there dying of exposure, dying, bleeding to death, you know, just all kinds of horrible death, I mean, possibilities. All right. The when you're out deer hunting, you know, just you've got orange. You got orange on, and still there's hunting accidents where people end up, you know, getting about their head shot off, despite the fact that they're wearing orange. Well, you know, it's when you go out there in a hunting season, you're taking your life in your own hands. When you go out there in a trapping season, you're taking your life in your own hands. Hunting season's over. The hunter doesn't leave his gun laying out there. He takes it home with him. Trapping season, well, chances are he just leaves his trap out there. Say, oh, I can't remember if it's supposed to turn right at the Scaly Barter hickory tree or if it's supposed to turn left at the pine. Well, okay, well, that's all right. Anyhow, then somebody laid out, you know, freezing to death, dying of exposure.
Rocky one.
And then, when it comes right down to it, $25,000 reward. Okay. There's been $1 million reward for quite some time now, but we haven't seen anybody bring one in. All right, $25,000. That's going to bring a bunch of people that wouldn't necessarily know anything about a Bigfoot reward at all. Well, they're going to find out about it because there's a Bigfoot hunting season in Oklahoma. So everybody comes down there and say, "Oh yeah, there's a chance that we can get $25,000." Well, the guys that do this kind of stuff, they know that there's $1 million reward out there, but they still haven't collected. They haven't collected because they haven't got anything to collect on them. These are guys that do this kind of stuff, not just one day go out there and, you know, set a trap and then, you know, go out there next week and see if there's anything in it. Well, $25,000 isn't going to pay for harming somebody. Somebody laying out there with their leg busted. Somebody out there with their neck stretched. You know, there's all kinds of traps, and you know, traps can be very dangerous. I mean, anybody ask the guys that went to Vietnam, they can tell you about, you know, traps that don't blow up and stuff like that. Just traps that you step in and stuff. But
of course, Rocky, and there's if you really want to think about it, that there's going to be people that's going to go out in the woods and they're going to get into this. So you have the trappers, and then you have the trappers that want to express themselves with the firearm. So,
right.
There's a, you know, like you said before, you know, if dude's running through the woods with the ghillie suit, dude, you might get killed, and somebody's going to, you know, ruin their life doing that.
If you look at it, just not long back, there was an old boy, thought it'd be really funny to put a ghillie suit on, and whenever he'd see a car coming, he'd run across the road in front of him. There's a Bigfoot sight, and well, somebody didn't sight Bigfoot in time and run over him, and then the car behind that car run over him again. All right, he's dead.
Well,
he's a dumbass.
That's going to be the same thing, Rocky, what it's going to be, you know. It's kind of like, I'm not trying to isolate anybody, and I'm not trying to get on them, but it's kind of like, you know, if you put 50 pounds of peanut butter on the side of a tree, and you go down there and watch it, and there's a 50-pound coon comes up to eat the peanut butter every night, that's kind of like, hello. If you keep doing it over and over again, you're going to get the same result. Well, these people are putting themselves in great danger with this thing. I can see that there's going to be people that are legitimately going out there trying to say, okay, I'm going to hunt a Bigfoot. But there's a lot of people out there that are going to be, you know, this is the hunting season, and I'm going to go out there, and somebody's probably going to get shot, or they're going to get, like you said, in a trap. You know, somebody's going to get hurt.
Well, the thing of it is, Bigfoot hunters out there. Hence the show, Searching for Bigfoot. Hence the group, Searching for Bigfoot Incorporated. That's what we do. We go out and we hunt Bigfoot. We don't try to put traps out. A lot of people hate us because, I mean, I've said it I don't know how many times. If I shoot one, we bring it in by 9 o'clock the next morning. It's going to be all over the, you know, it's going to be the talk all over the world. And then by 9:15, there's going to be that's it, you know. You can't hunt Bigfoot anymore. It's a creature. It's real and all that. You know, to the point that, you know, a man might get in trouble. There's places that actually, you know, that have laws against hunting, harming, or harassing a Bigfoot. I mean, you can't do it in Oklahoma on tribal land. Anyhow, for $25,000, I don't think so. But like I say, there will be legit hunters out there. All right, the legit hunters, it would be nice to be able to purchase a license to go hunt Bigfoot so that, you know, makes it easier to explain to the fish and game people, you know, why you're packing firearms when there's not a deer season or anything like that. So you whip out your license and say, I'm hunting Bigfoot. But there's got to be a standard. I mean, it's got to be one of those things. I know that now. Anybody that was born after a certain year, they have to take hunter safety courses and all that. I don't have a problem with that. People that were born in before a certain year, going out and hunting Bigfoot, well, you know, these people have been been hunting for, you know, a few decades. And, but, you know, still a class. Said, here's what you're looking for and here's what you're looking not to do. You know, just like when we took, when we got concealed carry license, we had to go to a class. Say, this is what you can do. This is what you can't do. This is what you better not do. And, you know, the concept would be good if they they cover all the bases. Yeah, if they're gonna have a Bigfoot hunting season, first they got to figure out when the season is, where it's not going to interfere with you know, some other hunting season. There's a lot of people kill you if you walk across the under their deer stand while they're deer hunting, or they might not kill you, but they certainly want to.
How many times have we talked about that, Rocky?
Right.
That's
why we don't deer. That's why we don't Bigfoot hunt during deer season, because we don't want to get shot. Okay. The rules and regulations. If you get caught out there in a ghillie suit, a gorilla suit, any kind of thing like that, well, big, you know, then you brought trouble on yourself because somebody sees something like a man in a ghillie suit. I've seen people out in the woods in ghillie suits, and I have to admit, when you first see it, it's kind of a shock because you think this time I've got one. But then you realize that, you know, you're looking at a fool out there in a ghillie suit during deer season, not a speck of orange on them anywhere. But it's just as simple as, so far I haven't heard people talk sense. I haven't heard people say, well, you know, here's what you can't do. Here's what you can't do during Bigfoot season. This is when Bigfoot season is, and it's not going to interfere with any other hunting season. You know, you'd have to wear something that will alert the other hunters that you're out there hunting. You have to label traps. You have to, when I say label, with your name, address, all of that on the trap. So whenever they find some little boy that's been out there for 3 weeks with a trap on his leg, laying there dead, you know, they can say, well, you know, here's the guy's address that put this trap out and didn't come back and check it.
Absolutely.
There's so many things, so many bases that they haven't touched. I mean, just when I first heard it, I said, yeah, that would be great. That would be great. But then I heard, oh, yeah, I said, there's going to be a bunch of yeehaws get out there and get shot. And then when they started talking trapping, I didn't hear anybody else saying it besides me and you, but the side effects of trapping, you know, if you're going to trap something that big, it's going to take a powerful trap. All right, you got a 16-year-old kid going down there where his daddy told him to go so he'd get a chance to get him a buck, and he steps in a trap that's big enough to trap a 500 to 1,000-pound creature. Well, you know, the concept is good if they can think it all out and not not allow for stupidity. And, you know, that's going to take some doing, because I don't care what kind of hunting it is, you're going to run into the stupid people. I've never come close to killing somebody out in the woods, even though, like I say, the guys in the two guys that I've seen stand up in ghillie suits with no orange, you know, I didn't throw down on them, but there's always the chance that the next guy could. But
that's right, Rocky. We've always exercised great restraint, and we've been down through the woods so many times for so many years. But that's just like, wow. Yeah,
it's one of those things. Me and you go out. We don't shoot a deer unless we see it and know that it is a deer. We don't shoot and kill a hog unless we see it and know that it's a hog. Okay, that scenario. Oh, it's getting dark. It's getting dark. Well, what in the hell is that? It looks like a Bigfoot. Boom. No, it was a guy that lived up on top of the hill in a ghillie suit. Well, under those circumstances, where I would say, you know, he killed himself by being that stupid. Well, a lot of times prosecutors don't see it the same way I do. And no, $25,000 will cover the lawyer fees, especially if you don't get it.
Yeah, it won't cover. It won't even start for a retainer.
Okay, my thought. Representative Justin Humphrey. Okay, I'm all for a festival. Yeah, I'll have a Bigfoot festival, but use your head before you have a Bigfoot festival that entails catching a Bigfoot, trapping a Bigfoot. You know, I've always said, I won't shoot a Bigfoot if I can figure out some way to get him to surrender. Well, there's a lot of people out there that just, you know, they don't think things out. One of the things they don't think out is, well, you know, a man would be stupid for being out here in a ghillie suit. Yes, we're talking about people. We're talking about men that are stupid enough to get out there in a ghillie suit. We're talking about people who are stupid enough to set traps out there that could injure or kill. A few years ago down at what's the fort down in Fort Smith, the Army base. I can't even think of the name of it. Anyhow, they had the guy.
Fort Chaffee,
yeah. They had the guy had crossbows set out with
tripwires.
Okay. Nobody got hurt, nobody got killed, but you know, he was setting out booby traps for deers. Well, you know, where a deer's vitals are, man's got some vitals in about the same height. Well, fortunately, somebody saw the tripwire and took a stick and tripped it, and that's when he called the fishing game, and they sit out there and they watch for somebody to come down and check out the booby traps, and found that there was not just one, but there's several of them set out along the trail. Well, he kind of lost his license to hunt. Well, you know, there could very easily be a lot of people losing their license to Bigfoot hunt because they just don't think. And, well, let me get Leo on here and see what he has to say. What do you think? Are you there, Leo? No, Leo. Leo? Huh? I'm not getting Leo. I'm not. For some reason, I cannot get him. Yo, Leo. Hey, Doyle.
Well, I'm.
Are you okay?
Rocky, am I still on?
Yes, you are. I tried to get Leo, but I couldn't get him.
Well, we got to talk about the Bigfoot store. Everybody ought to go on there and get him a. I'm just going to do a commercial. Let's get on there and
okay,
get some Bigfoot stuff. Let's go.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Go to the website. Get you a belt buckle. Get you some long sleeve shirts. I guess there's some long sleeve shirts.
Long sleeve, short sleeve.
Short sleeves. They got the great logo. There's a lot of stuff on there. Everybody ought to go to Bigfoot.
You've got to have a Bigfoot cap.
Yeah, get you a hat. No doubt, I forgot about
the
hat.
Yeah.
There's no stuff there, Rocky. I just imposed that.
Well, no, that's good. I was getting ready to do a commercial, but I'll just do that now.
Cool.
Here we go.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
We're back, and I want to remind everybody, go to Tubi TV and pull up Tom Biscardi, Brutal Bigfoot, either one. It's a good movie. Y'all need to watch the movie. It's Bigfooters going out and doing Bigfoot things. Big faces that you recognize, and some faces that you'll see that you hope you never see again, just because they're ugly. But anyhow, Tubi TV, brutal Bigfoot. And it looks like we've got, let me try this one more time. Leo.
I am here. Folks, it
hey.
Is Leo the Bigfoot Hunter. Who brought you? How's everybody doing out there?
We're doing good. What do you think about the Bigfoot hunting season thing?
Well, this is what I think, Rocky. I think what the legislators are trying to do, they're trying to turn this whole thing into a tourist attraction. So I'm going to tell you what
That's
they're planning
exactly
on doing,
what
folks. What they're planning on doing, they turn into a tourist attraction.
He openly said that it was all about tourism, festivals, and selling licenses, which he said most people will frame and put on the wall.
Well, you know, Rocky, the other thing that folks got to look at this whole thing itself, you got to realize Bigfoot itself is a paranormal and a mythological situation. So it always coincides with the federal government. As we know, we look at conspiracy theories and we look at the Men in Black and we look at all these things that's going on in the federal government. We look at these things coinciding with the federal government itself. That's what the legislators are going to look at, you know, in turning this thing into a tourist attraction. That's cool. But you're going to have those who are going to go out there actually looking for these creatures, looking to catch the big guy, and it's going to turn into a bad situation. So I think
what it is, they're trying to bring in revenue for four in particular counties. It's not going to be a federal thing. It's going to be a state thing.
And that's true. I mean, it's going to be a state situation. It's going to be a House of Representatives situation. But at the same token, as we know the federal government's always been involved in a lot of the paranormal situations, especially dealing with Bigfoot and UFOs. So it's going to be like it's open season for people to go out and look for these creatures and try to kill one. And you're going to have some jackass that's going to be out there, like you said, like you and Tweed said, it's going to be in a ghillie suit. It's going to wind up on someone's mantle. That's what's going to end up happening.
Well, the thing of it is, like I say, it's not a federal thing. It is basically a four county thing. The state's going to have to okay it, but so far there's been no mention of any kind of federal anything. But the thing of it is, just like you said, just like I said, it's all about tourism. And, you know, the representative, Justin Humphrey, he said tourism, bringing in all kinds of people for the festival. Fine, that's cool. I'm all cool with the festival. I might even go to it. The hunting, the trapping, okay, that's where they're, so far, that's the big screw-up, because so far, of course, they haven't got it passed yet. He's bringing it up in front of the state officials trying to get it passed, and he's got a lot of people that's calling in that says that he's just the most awful thing in the world for even considering such a thing. I understand he's trying to, but it's all about the tourism. He said so, his words, tourism. Okay, I'm okay with that. I think, you know, if they want to do a festival, yeah, I mean, a month-long festival, that's what he's talking about. I don't know. I think that's a good thing. It'll bring in money for four counties that really don't have all that much going for them. But the hunting thing, it bothers me because there's people that are actually out there doing it that know what they're doing. I mean, me and the Swede, have hunted. My hunting years, his hunting years also. We've got over 100 years now. Okay. It kind of aggravates us when you get somebody in there that he bought a gun last week, and he had to buy 3 boxes of shells because the first 2 boxes was the wrong kind of ammo. And then, you know, he's out here playing war and sniper. And on me, because I'm trying to get out of my tree stand. And, you know, you get that. If they say, okay, it's a no firearm thing, we're going to trap. Well, we're going to have to really, really be careful about the type traps that are used, because at the very least, there's going to be injuries. I don't care if it's a little sling type, little snare, using. Of course, you know, anybody that's my brother used a snare. Well, I guess he still does. But he used a steel cable, a little bitty tiny steel cable, so that it couldn't be chewed into, couldn't be broke. Okay, you got some old boy going out there wondering, you know, so well, my damn milk cow got out, and he's walking out across the field trying to find his milk cow, and the next thing he knows, he's got a snare around his ankle, out of 3/4 inch, steel cable. He's not going to be fucking enough in tough place or anything like that. Chances are he's going to, if he does get out of it, he's going to go home with a busted leg. I haven't heard any sensible planning. I've heard ideas, but no planning. And people are going to get hurt unless they say, you know, no, we're just going to do a festival. If they're just going to do a festival, I'll go see it. I'll go to it. I'll ask Sweet if he's ready. If he wants to go. But, you know, comes right down to it. There's no guarantee that this hunting season isn't going to be a bigger headache for the state, for the counties,
Let me tell you, down here in my part of the country, we have in Harlan County, we have the Black Bear Festival. And we don't go out and kill the black bear. We don't go out and trap the black bear. We celebrate the black bear.
There you go.
We have men come in and wrestle the black bear like you've done before. But nobody harms the black bear. Nobody does anything to the black bear. But they do have, you know, a festival, a carnival for the kids to ride rides. It brings in revenue. They bring in country music singers. They have concerts that you pay to get into. It's a good thing. And what you're talking about is a good thing. Wide open, just saying, let's go hunt Bigfoot. No.
What I see happening is people getting hurt, and then all of a sudden, all of these other states, including Oklahoma, say, No, he just can't hunt Bigfoot, period.
No.
Because people get hurt.
And you were talking about trapping. My brother is a deputy sheriff, retired yesterday, but he's a known trapper. He's a steel trapper, one of the best in the country, in this part of the country. But his line is open 24/7, and he releases more kids and more pets and more animals from steel traps than anybody in this country.
Absolutely.
You call him at 3 o'clock in the morning, he'll come get your dog out of a steel trap.
I know my brother. My brother's a trapper, and he's had to release I don't know how many dogs, how many pets. So, it looks like we're out of time. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that you were there. But we'll be back next week, and hopefully Tom will be back home, and we'll see what new subjects we can grab about or clear up.
Maybe I can get my brother on next week and he can clarify some of this trapping thing.
Well, that sounds good to me. In the meantime, the time has come. And I have to say good night to everybody, and thanks for calling and listening in. And everybody have a good evening.
Good night from Kentucky. Good night, Leo. Good night, sweet.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long.